It's been a long time coming, but now the First Responder Network Authority, or FirstNet, has released a request for proposals to deploy a nationwide broadband public safety network. FirstNet executives are calling it a landmark development. With more on the RFP and what it means, FirstNet President T.J. Kennedy. T.J., great to have you back.
Terrific to be back, Tom.
All right, so what does the RFP specifically ask for? What is it that you are requesting?
FirstNet's request for proposal is asking for offerors to bring to the table a nationwide solution that will allow us to meet the 16 key objectives of public safety and provide broadband services that include video, voice, and data.
So this RFP has been a long time in the formation. Does that mean you are working with possible industry partners to shape it, or what has been the challenge so far to get to this point?
We've done two main things to get to this point. One, we've worked with public safety across the country, and we've done consultations in states and territories all across the country to receive feedback that has been built into this RFP. We want to make sure that these objectives meet the needs of all public safety in different states, different territories, different needs for police, fire, and emergency medical services. Because of that, it's been a little bit of a long effort, but I think well worth it to get to this point. We've also done a lot of market research with industry, and we believe that industry has had a lot of time to give input into the RFP itself, and what we put forward should drive great competition.
All right, so this network will eventually use the D-block, the so-called the famous D-block, in the 700 megahertz frequency. What is the status of that block now? Who owns it? Where is it sitting? And is there anything on there now?
Sure. The D-block 10 megahertz has actually been added to another 10 megahertz to create a 20 megahertz block for public safety broadband across the country that is now available for use and only has about 10 users that are still on it today. We're working very closely. Most of those are some public safety narrowband users that are being moved off, and we'll work with them over the next year to do so. But our current plan, we believe that this spectrum will be fully clear and ready to go at the time of contract award, and that will really allow for this network to deploy quickly.
So this is not a request for quotes, but you're looking for more information, or what is it you hope to get as responses?
No, this is a request for a proposal, and we're expecting to get real proposals that come forward that can lead to a final contract award. Currently, we're expecting a significant amount of time, a few months now, for folks to be able to come forward and write those proposals. We have a time frame out there to have questions come in over the next couple of weeks. We'll then drive into capability statements and then eventually full-on proposals.
Is there a time period that you're requesting for RFP? I mean, is it 10 years, 20 years, or options? What's the structure that you're looking for in a contract?
The structure right now that we're looking for are having five-year renewals of a contract that will lead up to a 20-year time frame. And so those five-year renewals would allow that we can ensure that good performance is happening, but there's also some long-term certainty for return on investment.
And are there flexibilities for the bidders? For example, suppose some of them want to bid simply service, and the hardware comes from somewhere else, or could they also bid the services and the hardware?
The way that our RFP is structured is it's one nationwide approach, and we would expect folks to team together. So if you have hardware providers and software providers and other folks that are looking at the covered leasing agreements to provide network services, that they would all come together as a team to go ahead and put a proposal in together.
So it doesn't sound like one single company necessarily would be a winning bidder. It could be a coalition.
It's very likely to be coalitions that come together to do that and or some large companies that bring some key teammates to the table.
We're speaking with T.J. Kennedy, the president of FirstNet. And you mentioned earlier there are 16 requirements. What heads the list of the requirements for FirstNet?
There's very important things such as, you know, coverage and capacity of the network, looking to make sure that we're meeting the needs for cybersecurity, for public safety. These kinds of objectives across the board will entail, at the end of the day, having a mission-critical network that provides the kind of broadband services that police officers, firefighters, paramedics, and EMTs will utilize every single day in their daily operations as well as during big emergencies.
I guess the big picture here is that this is more than simply a voice network, but more and more police departments are using video, for example, or building plans in fire situations or other first response type of situations, for example. And these would be the types of information sources that could utilize broadband to feed first responders with information they need.
Correct. First responders are embracing the use of data more than ever. Being able to share photos, being able to share those building plans, being able to send information related to, you know, a license plate or a criminal history on a particular driver pulled over on the side of the road. These are all things that will be transmitted across this kind of a network, and also have the ability to share video for life-saving needs of public safety.
And is there equipment out there now that can do this, software-defined radios? Or, I mean, do radios have a screen on them? I mean, how does this all work in the hands of a first responder?
Well, actually, we're leveraging international commercial standards from the third generation partnership project, 3GPP, which is what most commercial cellular networks utilize today. These standards that exist today for long-term evolution, LTE, is what we'll be utilizing going forward. So many different commercial providers have this technology in place today. There are some future public safety standards that are coming out in the next year related to mission-critical voice and some of the very specific mission-critical needs for public safety that will also be incorporated as we deploy the network.
So by having this dedicated network across the country, that means there won't be any need to have interruption types of services or to override what the commercial users or private users are using. This will be something that will only be for law enforcement and nobody else can get on it, and law enforcement won't have to use anybody else's network when it has an emergency.
It's actually slightly different. What we're doing is bringing forward the spectrum so that we can have dedicated priority and preemption. There will actually be the ability for commercial users through other providers to be on the network, but they will always have the ability for public safety to prioritize their traffic and to preempt any traffic in a major, you know, huge national emergency to have a seamless public safety experience on that network. And that's something that has been missing, and I think will really give the experience to public safety that they're looking for through that priority and preemption.
Is the philosophy behind that it would be inefficient to have a network dedicated solely to first response, because for most of the country, most of the time, it would be dormant?
That's correct, Tom. I think from really trying to be cost-effective and making sure that we can have the coverage and capacity for those big emergencies, it really makes a lot of sense to have that shared network, but to use the key functions that exist today in LTE for priority and preemption so that we can make sure that the experience for public safety is like they have a dedicated network, but they're also doing it on a shared network during that time.
And like the public network, will it have open APIs such that other equipment makers can join in and offer their wares using that network compatibly, and interoperability would be preserved, but you could have a choice of manufacturers for radios?
That is very well true. We're looking for open APIs. We're very much driving down the path to have as much open competition and to have as many different manufacturers as possible while really enabling good security in the meantime.
All right, TJ Kennedy is the president of FirstNet. Share this interview with colleagues and read the RFP. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.